things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence with Vince, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I will be with you for the next hour. Now, we have tonight's guest booked for tomorrow evening, and we may just run right through this evening and record that for replay tomorrow. So if we have callers calling in during the second hour tonight, we may decide to carry that second hour live. So we'll see what happens. If you're confused, don't worry. We are too. Anyway, so nice to have you here on this January the 12th on the West Coast, now January the 13th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. Lots going on these days, and there seems to be a movement to reinvestigate or continue and ramp up the level of information that's coming out regarding what occurred on 9/11/2001. Tonight's guest is an author, has written well over 20 books. More recently, the book Wrongly Blamed, also The Secret Scripture, The Magnificent Message, which is actually in two volumes, and he's working on a new book, which is going to detail much of the information that the media chose to ignore or their complicity in the cover-up of what occurred on 9/11, and you're going to hear some things tonight guaranteed that you've never before heard about the topic of 9/11. With that, I would like to bring on tonight's guest. He, this evening, again, guest hosted for Rick Adams' Uncensored Free, Radio Free America. And I have to say that he's turning out to be quite a host. So he's going to keep all the rest of us hosts on our toes, or we're going to lose our jobs.
That was a wild one tonight. Great to be back.
Dr. K, welcome to Evident Footprints.
Great to be back. Really great. Yeah. You know, I'm excited about doing this show with you. Isn't there, there's sufficient cause for suspicion to delve more and more deeply into this, and especially the situation on the World Trade Center with the fabricated videos. I mean, you have plenty of reason to suspect the Trade Center towers, because you'd have to be a liar, you know, to say that a plane crashed in Shanksville, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that says that is a liar. So anybody that's still maintaining that, I think it was flight, the claim of flight, I don't even like to mention that, but the claim, and then of course, you'd have to be a liar to say, to maintain that a flight smashed into the Pentagon. You know, that's, and there's no evidence of any kind of crush damage to that front of that Pentagon, anyway.
No, in fact, there are just so many different anomalies regarding the whole issue that just none of it makes any sense. And and it might help our listening audience, for those that haven't really followed what's going on in the Patriot movement over the past 8 years, going now into the ninth year.
Exactly.
If they're not listening to Patriot Radio, or if they're listening to mainstream Patriot Radio or conservative mainstream AM radio, you're not going to hear what actually happened. You hear this mantra of the terrorists and the war on terror, and without identifying who the terrorists are and who created these terms in the first place.
That's right. That's right. Well, and there's no physical evidence of any kind anywhere, any place to put a Boeing, a jumbo jet, a Boeing large body jet in any of these four sites.
Mm-hmm.
We have no double engines anywhere. We have no wings anywhere. We have no fuselage anywhere. we have no confirmed killed people at those sites from planes anywhere. We have no seats or cushions, as you would expect, many of those on each flight anywhere. There's no luggage anywhere. There's no passports, legitimate passports of people actually Americans or others that were flying in this country.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't exist. Now,
yes.
There might be some espionage, some strewn luggage and some strewn wreckage and some strewn passports, but that's not sufficient to put. Remember the TWA Flight 800, how they had to put all that together piece by piece?
Yes.
Where's the plane? Where's the Boeing? You know that Morgan Reynolds has been saying that. Where's the Boeing? The PhD from Texas down there.
Yeah.
But
maybe Dr. K, maybe we could just start off with a brief synopsis of the events that led up to 9/11. Maybe I can just throw a couple of those out.
And then
we'll run with this together.
Yeah.
We had in around 1997 the creation of a document called Rebuilding America's Defenses, written by the Project for the New American Century, or the PNAC. And that was calling for a false flag event on the order of Pearl Harbor to rally the American people to find a common enemy to start making money. It was insane that this document even made it to the internet.
Incredible.
And presuming that there was some credibility to it, and the list of names are recognized, yes, by everyone, the people who signed this document, many who have become the talking heads for mainstream media like Fox Television, William Crystal, and Jeb Bush's name was on it. And the list goes on and on. People whose names were in the news years later, 4 years later, they were everyday personalities on television or in the newspapers. So we have that anomaly. Then the day before 9/11, we have Donald Rumsfeld in front of Congress telling them that the Pentagon has lost $2.3 trillion. They don't know where it is. Now, where do they get $2.3 trillion when their published budget was in the neighborhood of $380 billion a year?
Exactly.
Where do they lose $2.3 billion, and let's backtrack a little bit.
Unless they made extra money and laundered it, and somehow the book showed
prior to that.
Because that's what you brought.
Yes, prior to that, a couple of years prior to that, they announced $2.1 trillion missing. And then again, I think it was another $2.3 trillion. So you have these trillions of dollars missing.
Unfathomable.
By the way, it takes 37,000 plus years to count to 1 trillion, 1 second at a time. So if you want to, 37,000 years.
A lifetime, virtually.
A lifetime?
Yeah, virtually. You'd have to count for a virtual lifetime, half your lifetime,
Yeah, well, all of us would be counting and still would not get there.
It's true.
In a year.
Oh, did you say 37 years or 37 something years?
No, 37,000 years.
Oh, 37,000 years. Oh, okay.
Yes.
I guess so. Go ahead now.
Yeah. Okay, so you have these enormous trillions of dollars that were unreported publicly until September 10th when Rumsfeld mentioned this $2.3 trillion. Now, the military was running exercises in New York City against this very type of event. Do you find that not a bit synchronistic, if not coincidental?
Yeah.
And there are no coincidences.
No, there wouldn't be.
Okay.
Yeah.
How is it that while they're running this exercise against terrorism, against the World Trade Center, that they're unable to scramble any jets, if there were jets that actually attacked the center? Okay,
right.
We're looking at their story. How is it this possible that the world's strongest military could allow such a snafu to occur? Not once, not twice, not three times, but four times.
Right,
all
and
at,
of course
the
FEMA was
moment.
There on September the 10th, ready to, with a large group of guys, ready to take action for disaster. And then prior to that, if we want to back up a little further to see intent for malice or intent of fraud or perhaps intent for arson or insurance theft, we have Larry Silverstein taking over the Rockefeller, Rothschild, Oppenheimer, De Beers, whatever, the group's real estate, was the front man to take it over, to take over the lease, is one Larry Silverstein with Eisenberg's complicity, you know, the guy that worked at the Port Authority. They took on that lease. They paid a very minimal amount of money for it, but what they did to do that was to get a very large insurance coverage for both of the World Trade Centers and for the Marriott, the smaller centers. And they wrote in July, about June 2001, they wrote in the contract that if there are two different terrorist attacks, we get double the insurance money. That's physically written in by Silverstein. Yeah, and as you mentioned, Frank Lowy was brought in, who's a demolition expert. He's an Israeli Mossad guerrilla and is an expert in blowing up buildings. So you have Lowy and you have Silverstein, who called to even higher players, guilty of insurance fraud at this point. I mean, that would be the suspicion of law enforcement if there was any law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
So you have FEMA, now, which is a little bit less serious than Silverstein, if you think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because Silverstein's showing a financial motive for a crime. You know? FEMA is just a government agency that was ordered to be there.
Yes. Now, I mentioned to you on your other show this evening, just briefly, I had the opportunity within the last couple of days to dig up the original NBC News cast from 9/11/2001, hosted by Tom Brokaw and Campbell Brown, and there's one other gentleman who's David Bloom, who I believe didn't he pass away?
He
died. Yeah, he died of cancer or something like that. Suddenly.
Maybe the smoke got him, you know.
Yeah, I believe it was this past year he died.
Okay.
So now you have David Bloom and Tim Russert of NBC, two young, fairly young reporters and anchors or field reporters, leaving the planet rather expediently and well before their time. Okay. Now. Mm-hmm. And going back and looking at the film, it's quite obvious that they're following a script. Absolutely, I'm convinced that
everybody should watch
a
that. Well, how do they watch it? It'd be fun if some of them watched it. What should they put in their Google search engine for that one?
You put in NBC Nightly News, 9/11/2001, or you could put 9/11/01.
Okay.
And put in part one, and then that will take you to part one, part two, part three, part four. There's someone who recorded that on their TiVo.
Wow.
And it broke it into four parts. Very clean recording.
Okay.
Okay. Now, you begin to see anomalies right away. Here, the whole military, this is the thing I'm trying to underscore here, is that these military exercises were supposedly going on in the city. Everyone knew about this, and
they did the same
no
thing in London,
military.
You know, the London bombings. There were all of these terrorist teams scouring around, messing around, doing a potential terror attack cleanup. At the same time, the bombing occurred. Same thing in the London.
Yes. Well, yeah, and the London bombing took place.
It's probably a tactic in case something goes awry. You can always say, well, we had this training and whatever.
Yes. Yes. The London bombing, just as, since you mentioned it, happened to occur 911 days. From 9/11.
Like spitting in your face.
Okay.
Like that guy that called tonight saying the big devil doesn't care what you think, you know. Yeah.
Yes, for the listening audience, there were some absolutely ridiculous calls that came into the radio show that Dr.
Fireworks.
K was hosting.
But you have to be very suspicious. You have to always be very suspicious of people that provide disinformation purposely or try to undermine every effort. That's all I have to say. I'm not saying you should be suspicious of everybody, but when you're trying to do something correct, and then people come in and purposely seed false information, that's very suspect, no matter who it is. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yes. And you're talking about discernment, which we talk about quite a bit. Now, why are we bringing these things up? Well, some people say, it's beyond us. You can't do anything about it. Absolutely, it was mass murder. And as far as I'm concerned, one person being murdered warrants a murder investigation.
Oh, absolutely.
And you've got thousands that died.
Yeah.
In fact, NBC News, in this report I'm referring to, David Bloom made the statement that more than 20,000 people are presumed to have been killed in that event.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that just a number they're throwing out there to get us upset or to create fear, to create this enemy?
You never have any information. You can't trust CNN's ticker tape that says that there's 2,872. There's bones still being found. We hear nothing independent. So you're right. We don't mm-hmm. know if it's 10,000 or 15,000, 20,000, 25,000, 40,000. Nobody knows anything. Now, we do have that tape of that little girl dying when the tower comes down. She was on 911, and she revealed a lot of stuff, although that other caller tonight tried to dispute it. It's not disputable. I mean, use your discernment. As a physician, I can tell mm-hmm. you, this is a real fearful woman knowing she's about to die. She said on her whole floor, the 83rd floor, there were only 5 people. So perhaps the figure is close. We just don't know. But I've been suspicious that the figure's too low myself. But, the important part of it is what evidence do we have from those people who were dying? What did they say to the 911 people? The people who were right outside the tower, what did they see? Because you painted the picture of a conspiracy. FEMA being there, the NORAD being called down, Dick Cheney being in the bunker. Are we on? We've got some kind of a technical difficulty. Hello, are we on? Hello? Hello? Hello?
Might be scary. The future is actually bright due to the many breakthrough clean technologies now emerging. Why be blue when you can be green? You'll definitely want to read the new book that just came out, Breakthrough Power. Go to their website, breakthroughpower.net. You'll also want to bookmark freeenergynews.com, which takes you to the premier news and directory site, peswiki.com, the Wikipedia of breakthrough energy. That's freeenergynews.com.
Above and beyond.
one of these topics. Sorry, folks. Technical snafu. We got disconnected there.
Yeah.
It seems to always happen when you're revealing very deep truths.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And we were talking about how there was plenty of pre-knowledge and pre-evidence before September 11th. And now, mm-hmm. after September 11th, the evidence is even more glaring.
Yes. Well, looking back at these videos, and I paid close attention to what was being said in light of what we know. And number one, a person couldn't make those statements like David Bloom made about how the airliner that supposedly hit the Pentagon went in at an angle. That's interesting. He's a newscaster, and here you have all these people inside a building that an airplane hits, and he's now describing it as having gone.
Oh, no. Don?
British accent. The person you're trying to call is unavailable.
It sounds like you're under siege tonight.
Yes.
So you're onto something.
Well,
but
makes for some great radio, doesn't it?
Yes, that's right. Now, you were talking about that news clip that you listened intently to. Now, was he saying this as a cover-up because people started to doubt or said that? Was that after Jamie McIntyre revealed that there was no airplane and there was no wreckage?
No, we're talking about
right
the night
away.
Of 9/11. He's actually describing the angle that the plane hit the building.
And what date did he what hour and date? Do you have any idea?
Well, the nightly news came on either back then 6 or 6:30
okay,
p.m.
Okay, well, then
Eastern.
that would be a cover-up because the eyewitnesses from CNN, such as Jamie McIntyre, said there is no plane. There is no wreckage. So that... In other words, they're trying to come up with a way to say that the plane went in the building and got sucked up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are they saying that the wings bent and went in the building?
No, he made the distinct statement that the plane went in at an angle, as if it was tilted to one side, you know, and the wings were vertical instead of horizontal.
I mean, but then they came up shortly thereafter, or that the building ate the plane.
Yeah, and the plane disintegrated into nothing.
You know, because people said there's no plane.
Mm-hmm.
There was no wreckage. There was they did the same thing with the World Trade Center. They did the same thing with Shanksville. In Shanksville, for instance, they said the pit ate the plane.
Yeah, the 10-foot pit.
Yeah.
How
many feet
that.
Is the plane? 170 feet? Who knows?
Yeah, and the wingspan, I think, is it 143 feet? Or
yeah, so 100? The length has to be longer, quite a bit longer.
Yeah, but
somebody might know out there.
Yeah.
250
those wings.
Feet, maybe. It couldn't eat. So that was there's no way the pit could eat the plane.
Yeah.
Now we have to ask the question, could the World Trade Center eat the plane?
Well, according to the slow motion video, the World Trade Center was built so well that after a plane entered it, it healed itself before the rest of the plane finished entering the
building.
When
you watch that segment by segment, you can see that it seals off the plane after it gets eaten by Jabba the World Trade Center.
Yes.
So Jabba opens its mouth,
mm-hmm.
eats the plane, and then its mouth shuts and somebody seals it with some duct tape.
Yes. Or super glue or something like that.
Yeah.
It's just absurd when you compare these things. So it's obvious.
It's a true house of cards when you think about it, because as soon as the documentary is out there showing that the planes didn't exist and that CNN and ABC, NBC, CBS conspired to put out fake video,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, it's over.
Yes. Now, we have this film that came out in 2006, What We Saw on 9/11, produced by a couple by the name of Bob and Bree, who had an apartment several blocks away from the World Trade Center. And they filmed everything up until the point where they had to close all the windows because all of the smoke debris was blowing in their direction.
Yes.
And it encompassed the whole building they were living in, and they were in a high rise themselves. So they
were fairly close.
Yes. They had a unique perspective, and the first reaction was that was a bomb that went off. And this was caught on film because the girl was actually filming out the window of the apartment at the time this all began.
And, she's shaking, so it's a legitimate video where she's moving, and it's not like these ones that the CNN showed where the buildings don't move.
Yes.
And she's got a real amateur video where she's goggling all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's gyrations, there's up and down, and she doesn't zoom just before the explosion like the CNN and some of these other videos do. But wasn't that an interesting expose into the subconscious mind where she right away said, it was just an explosion. It exploded.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody said, well, I thought it was a plane. You could hear them whispering from behind because they... And then somebody else said, well, it just showed on television that it's a plane. Something to this kind of conversation occurred. But
yes.
The only direct eyewitness, not the people in the background, and a lot of people think this is a phony. It's not a phony, man. This is a real exercise for you researchers, like you said, with discernment.
Discernment, yes.
Yeah, to discern carefully what happened there. She said it was an explosion. Then other people come in saying, well, we thought we heard that, you know, somebody said it might be a plane. That kind of thing was going on. She never deviated from the explosion thing.
Yes.
And
yes, sir. Well, the confusion came up when the girlfriend who was there with her in the apartment turned on the television set and started listening to CNN. And they make the comment, it's on CNN, because she called her husband at work to tell him what happened. She said, it's on CNN right now. So the girl who was with her there, probably just a friend, could have been a relative, is basically describing blow by blow what they're reporting on TV.
And they're reporting that they think it could be a plane.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no video of the plane. So what we have is media disinformation on the TV, contrasted to an actual home video showing no plane. And what's more, when the second explosion occurs in the South Tower, right?
Mm-hmm.
When that explosion occurs, she captures that,
mm-hmm.
but no plane.
No plane. And let's go back to my first statement. There was a military exercise going on that morning right there in New York City. Where was the military? Okay? Let's just throw that out there just for a second.
So that would mean that also is a fabrication. If there was no military there, then they would... And if there was an exercise, shouldn't you have seen some troops, some sort of, special services? There, like you said, there wasn't a single uniformed troop person there.
Yes. Now, Richard Andrew Grove. Now, let's bring this into the mix. I think you and I had talked about this some months ago, several times back when you were first on my show. Richard Andrew Grove was a computer programmer that worked there on the 85th floor. He worked with the companies that were doing the computer work, basically on put options. And the put options were being made, and he noticed some irregularities. These guys are programmers, so they're setting all this system up. And basically what they did, he probably came to a realization that he was working on something which was quite fraudulent, and he brought it to the attention of his manager. He ended up being fired, and he was very bitter. He got another job with another company and was fired from that job. And his girlfriend, who became his fiance, was also fired from her job from a totally different company. So they were definitely trying to put the financial restraints and cripple them so that they had no power.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, which they always do. Okay, now Grove was called back to a meeting that was to occur during the morning coffee break on 9/11. And this meeting was to occur at 9:30 in the morning, and he was late. He got hung up in traffic, and when he got there, yes, they intended to get rid of him along with whoever else was working on those projects.
He knows that, does he not?
Oh, he figured that out, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote a very detailed description of everything and recorded that, and it was heard several times on the Maria Heller show.
Mm-hmm.
A radio show in New York City.
Oh, yes, Maria Heller, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, he, I'm not saying anything for or against Maria Heller. I've actually only heard Richard's dissertation that he
you
went into.
You can't trust anybody these days.
So. Yeah. Now, but I have, again, is this another PSYOPs thing here just to throw us off? You know, off base.
No, I don't think so. The 83rd floor, of course, was the computer center.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's a PSYOP.
Yes.
I think I've heard his interview, and it's, you just never know, though. I shouldn't say I don't think it is. Anything's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one thing that is confirmatory of the plot. And perhaps more so than most of the dissertations. I mean, that building was an albatross.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at the big picture, the rental was poor. It was older. There were newer, more sophisticated buildings that were properly adjusted to the internet and to computer technology. You know, those 60s era buildings, they have problems. It was asbestos up to the 46th or so floor, and the Port Authority tried to sue for insurance, and it was thrown out. And they tried to sue for demolition. They made every attempt for quite a few years to get the charge demolition authorized so
mm-hmm.
that they could bring them down, and the government said no because of the asbestos danger.
Yeah, I don't know if it was you who told me. Someone told me it was going to cost somewhere in the neighborhood of $20 billion to have all that renovation done.
Yes, since you cannot demolish them by controlled demolition,
mm-hmm.
the only other option to remove the asbestos could be $1 to $4 billion is by stripping it out. But the other issue is there was some aluminum on iron corrosion that was presumed to reach its pinnacle in 2020, and therefore those buildings were condemned at that date they would have to be either demolished, which was ruled out, or they'd have to be reconstructed. So they did an analysis, and it would cost $18 to $22 billion to put the scaffolding up. The scaffolding alone was about $2 billion, and then they would have to completely build a shell around it and then rebuild it. That's all published information.
Mm-hmm.
That's motive for murder, by the way.
Yes. Now, there's another anomaly. You brought up the Port Authority, I think it was some 6 weeks or so before 9/11 that Silverstein, who was a 99-year leaseholder, insured the building twice for, or let's say for a double terrorist attack.
Yeah, for a double plane strike, for example.
Yes, okay. Now, that's pretty psychic. You think
yep.
if the guy could figure that out, he could play the Powerball lottery and just take the winnings there and do the whole job.
Yeah,
with
exactly.
That money.
And you're looking at June 2001, so mm-hmm. you figure July, August, and a few days. So what you're looking at 70 days prior to the situation. And you're also looking at the asbestos issue, which was unresolved.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at the metal-upon-metal corrosion issue, which called for reconstruction, or the other option was to tear down the building brick by brick and beam by beam, which was cost prohibitive.
Yes.
And then you had the low tenancy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had the failing New York City lease economy, and then you had the failure of Silverstein to make a profit on his Building 7. He was failing miserably, miserable failure on Building 7, because he had mostly government contracts, and those were winding down. So he was hemorrhaging, you know?
Yes. Now, when he was trying to make this claim on you know, the loss of the two buildings, the Port Authority considered him to be the true owner of the building. Now,
that's incredible.
If you own the building, why would you lease it from yourself?
The Port Authority is Rockefeller and his associates, huh?
Yes, and that's so, the port. Actually, it's the port authorities of both New York and New Jersey.
It's true. And you see, what people don't realize is that that's a faux name. It's to confuse people, to make it sound like it's a governmental agency. It's not. It's a private company.
Yes.
And it's a front for Rockefeller, because he needed to create that, because he was going to crush all of those small businesses in New York, all those ethnic businesses, to put the World Trade Center together. And he didn't want the Rockefeller name to be tarnished, so he created the Port Authority, very sharp, very shrewd, so that nobody would associate the destruction of all those private businesses and the buying out of those people for little to no money with Rockefeller, because then he'd be the bad guy.
Yeah, and habitually,
and as you know, one tower was going to be called David Rockefeller for his brother, and one was going to be called for him, and the other one was going to be called Nelson Rockefeller. Well, the governor of New York said, no, it's going to be called the World Trade Center, you see. But, so, Silverstein essentially is a agent for the Port Authority. Then they brought in this demolition expert, which is quite incredible that nobody has taken these people completely to task.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've got motive for arson, motive for murder, motive for destruction of private property, and also your own lease as private property. It's not owned by him. It's the borrowed money from the bank, I guess. And then you have, and you bring in on the lease, a long-term guerrilla from the Israeli entity, Frank Lowy, who was a commando, who is an expert in placement of demolition charges.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need anything else. You don't even need to prove whether there was a plane or not. I mean, you should do it, but these guys, they're just bad. And
now,
they put
then
those
we have
bombs
the,
in there. Yeah,
yeah, the, yeah the, we had the put options that occurred. And speaking of Richard Andrew Grove, when he arrived at the scene of the World Trade Center, he witnessed trucks leaving. They were sort of flatbed trucks. They may have had sort of a gate around the sides or something, but they were loaded with gold.
Oh,
he
I don't doubt that.
He knew right away what that was. Now, what I understand is that gold belonged to Belgium.
Well, and, you know, Belgium, God knows where. And then I had a caller call me and say that she has a personal friend that was afraid she was going to be shot because she witnessed that, and there were people with guns. And I don't know if it's true, but it seemed like a very legitimate caller when I was on radio once. I just encouraged the New York people, like we had a New Yorker call today and put to rest some of the mystheries that people had. I call on the New York people to tell us everything they know. You know, and they know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why is New York more suspicious of government involvement than any other state? 60% of New Yorkers are suspicious. Government mm-hmm. or secret government, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, attorney Carl Pearson, who's going to be on the show again this week, is instigating a case. He's not letting this die. And
I should be in touch with Mr. Pearson, I guess.
I'd be happy to put you in touch with him.
Yeah,
he's
he's
a very fine gentleman and doing the right thing.
Yeah. I will add to this. I was sent by one of your listeners, or one of the listeners over in California, Mr. Moyers, that there is a great article apparently that is on the corruption, the financial corruption, called Collateral Damage, U.S. Covert Operations and the Terrorist Attacks on September 11th. Sounds very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to be related to the puts. Definitely is related to, like you said, the specific destruction of certain sites in the buildings to knock out the computer systems just in case the thing went awry, nobody could go in there. They were mm-hmm. sure to, it would appear, and Christopher Berlin has written on this, it would appear that the first charges that were set to destroy incriminating material.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's also true of the World Trade Center 7, not so much with charges, but more with fires.
Yes.
It so happens that the fires were on the 4th, primarily where the SEC filings were, which were incriminating Silverstein and Dick Cheney, for example, his corrupt involvement with Enron, George mm-hmm. Bush, and Senior as well. I don't have a lot of confidence that our powerful ones are that intelligent in terms of their, you know, their checkbooks.
Mm-hmm.
I would suspect that they're always on the verge of hemorrhaging, just as Silverstein was, and to cover up that and to prevent themselves from being exposed, what do you think they would do? No limit.
Yeah. Now, so we have these underground explosions that occurred, which would definitely clear people out of the lower levels of the building and facilitate the gold theft that Grove described. And
that's
then
a very good point.
We have these anomalies, and this is you and I have talked about this in the past, very recently, and I'm ever more convinced watching the film of a plane that no one saw. All of a sudden, they have all this video from every imaginable angle you can conceive of,
mm-hmm.
and at eye level. It's not just something, it's not somebody looking up from the ground or from on top of another building. It's as though they set, if those were real planes, they set it up to film the planes coming in, you see, at that
yeah,
level.
Yeah, right, right.
Okay.
Right, which is really inconceivable that anyone could ever capture the actual strike of a plane on a building. Regardless, even if you had a tripod, I mean, that would be such a fast-paced thing. But the bottom line is, like you said, the actual amateur video that was not sold to the networks, I've only found one thus far that I think is very clear, and obviously it's not a phony. It's not even possibly a phony. Now, it doesn't mean somebody could take that film and corrupt it, but in its original form, it's true. And that film does not show a plane, and yet it does show the explosion of the second building, but without the plane.
Yeah,
I don't know how you need more evidence than that, but you know there is more evidence. But
now NBC
that's a pretty good
one. NBC was careful to edit in to the report that they did, and I'm talking about this four-part posting on YouTube under the title NBC Nightly News, 9/11/01, parts 1 through 4, separate episodes. They're very careful to make sure that they get a guy who doesn't look like he's disheveled at all. He's all upset, talking on a cell phone underneath some sort of building front facade that's giving an overhang effect. In other words, he's underneath this thing, and he's acting all perturbed and upset. I'm over by the World Trade Center, and another plane just hit the other building.
That's not an eyewitness account of Wirtha. You know what? You're absolutely right. Here's an eyewitness account. Here, and it's not a CNN producer. It's a photographer, a professional photographer, interviewed by Charlie Rose, probably another to disinformation. But David Hanschusch, sorry for the pronunciation, but Mr. David is a photographer, and here's what he said. I was less than 100 yards from the building. I mean, that's an eyewitness. We heard this noise. Remember, I presumed nothing more than a Cessna, but now this is after the fact that he says this.
Mm-hmm.
What's important is now he's being interviewed days and days after since, the propaganda. But remember, I presumed at the most Cessna, okay? Never large aircraft. Now that's after the first one. Because they were told there was one. We didn't know. We didn't know attack. We didn't know terrorism. We just thought horrible accident. But see, that's... Now, here's more truth. People go up and down the Hudson Corridor all the time learning to fly. But we heard a noise that came from everywhere. Not like a jet aircraft. You know how a jet aircraft... If you're involved with a jet aircraft that's landing, it's very distinct noise. Or if it's climbing.
Mm-hmm. It's very loud, yes.
Yeah, very loud, and then there's the sonic thing back. So it seemed to come from everywhere, but we had no idea what it was. Now give me a break. The guy's 100 yards from the WTC. He's not gonna know, this is a legitimate witness. He's gonna know if there's a Boeing 767 around the corner.
Well, I've stayed in in some rather tall hotels in New York City over the years. And you can open a window if the window opens, you can open the window and stick your head out and you can hear all this traffic sounds many stories below. Somebody beeps a horn, it resonates.
Yeah.
It's amplified.
Yeah, it's true. It's going to be seriously amplified around those two WTCs. And then he says this. The South Tower just exploded. It just blew up.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said it. That was a plane. Now, see, that's where your boys are on the street, you see?
Yes.
You got your crew on the street. You know that one guy that it was that very obvious spy that they had saying, before I think the towers came down, he said, oh, yeah, the jet airliner went in and had all this fuel in it, and the fuel created so much heat, and the heat bent the metal, and the heat then created heat shock. And then all that impact led to the destruction of the towers. Some buffoon in a baseball cap.
Yes.
These thugs are on the street. Let me repeat this again to the professional photographer. He said, it just blew up. It exploded. Good God, people. Most of us have never broached this subject. We've known this something was fishy about the Pentagon. Some of the advanced people, Mr. Nikoloff and others, have been saying this plane thing's a phony. I'm joining in with the crew here. It is a phony, no doubt about it. He said, I was underneath it. I was looking at the tower. I had my camera in my hand. Somebody should look up his photos just to see if we're correct and see if his own physical photos show an actual Boeing. Well, he didn't see one, so I'm sure the photos don't show anything.
Yes.
He said, I heard the noise, but I never saw an airplane.
Yes. Well, we have these multiple shots, and if you've seen Loose Change, Dylan Avery goes through this close-up underneath the plane view. Where did that come from? Who was there waiting for that plane to hit that building that they could all of a sudden begin examining the underbelly of an airplane going
into a
skyscraper?
No, it's not possible.
And the zoom level is as if he's a couple of stories underneath it and slightly to the right, suspended in the air. I mean, it is impossible.
Yeah.
How many 85 story buildings are there that you can see the plane coming in at eye level?
Well, and they would have seen it and they would have heard it, and of course it would have been deafening. But the plane probably would have clipped something like an antenna. You know, there's too much treachery going on there. And also, it's got to impact something. So when it's going to smack into cement and steel, there's going to be some fracturing of the plane. There's going to be something that breaks off. There may be some penetration. But you're going to have a slowing down. Several of the American savvy people have said that the plane has to slow down on impact. It can't go in the same speed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's resistance. It's when there's air, there's resistance to air. If there's a strong headwind, a wind coming in, you know, coming towards the plane, the plane has to put in extra energy. How's it gonna melt through the cement? It's in the same speed.
Yeah.
That it is in the air is the same speed that it's going into the building.
Mm-hmm.
Whoopee, fake.
Yes. Now, there's only one kind of plane and one kind of building that I know that can withstand anything like what happened, and that is a Photoshop plane and a Photoshop World Trade Center.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, I really think it's a Photoshop World Trade Center, too, because when you look at the amateur video, this is very important that Mr. Don's making. The amateur video shows very clear the definition on the World Trade Center, the aluminum facade, the detail. You do not see that on the CNN films or the ABC films. You see a flat surface, completely different.
Now, you brought up this young lady that was screaming and was describing that there was no fire, but they were the heat was unbearable. Recount that for the listening audience?
Yes. There is a little lady. She's up in the heaven and having some peace, who knew she was going to die. As a doctor, I am telling you it's not a fake. Okay? She would not let the 911 lady go. Don't hang up on me. Don't hang up on me. You know that's real, people. She said, I'm going to die. So, you know, the woman was trying to hold on to her. But what she really emphasized more than anything is, it's so hot. Our skin is burning. It's burning in here. But where are the fires? There aren't any fires, she said. You see, there are no fires. That she could not see any fires. Now, I was thinking of that microwave weapon and some of the things that your show started this, you know, bringing out, some of these other weapons, because I don't think, and that's why the experts have to help us, I don't know enough about RDX or C4 to know if it can create that degree of heat. She was virtually burning up. I've never heard such a thing, ever.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. Yes, with fires, there's a smoke inhalation. But there were no fires within, you know, 50 yards of the woman.
You see, what you're describing are directed. I was going to say, I'm sorry, we have a bit of a delay, so we're competing with each other. But what you're describing is the probably more like a directed energy weapon, possibly from space or from one of those saucers that was flying around, because they use antimatter propulsion. The phenomenon were akin to antimatter events, and I'm speaking about the appearance of all of these entities in the smoke. We've talked about this on other shows.
Yes.
But it bears repeating. And that Judy Wood, Dr. Judy Wood, is arriving at a conclusion along these lines,
mm-hmm.
that some very intense, very advanced energy weapons were used.
You know, this is a very important thing. Some people would say, don't go there, but yes, go there, because you see how it works. Somebody had to make those weapons. And so whoever made those weapons, that's the source of the plot. Now we know what the Israelis were doing with explosives. Does Diamana, are they the lead technology in making antimatter, or is it America? Where is the device made? And was it you that sent me this link showing that the only file cabinet that left was a melted, twisted, distorted mass crushed into the size of maybe 3 football links? I mean, not the football field, but just 2 or 3 feet of metal.
I know I sent you some links to some of the twisted metal phenomenon, or what happened to some of the cars.
The file cabinet's the only one they recovered. And apparently, the one fireman said the pieces of phone were no longer than an inch. The biggest piece of a phone, you know how many thousands of phones there were, was a half mm-hmm. inch or something. Some kind of device. We know from controlled demolition that most likely it wasn't just that. Perhaps when the Palestinian people talk about how these devices melted the legs of some of their people, could be the same thing. Yeah. Who knows?
Oh yeah, that's you're talking, you know, in Iraq or in Palestine or any of the places, even Afghanistan, the things that we're not hearing about the war that are coming back from the soldiers that are there, or some of the civilians that have the courage to speak about it when they come back are saying they're using neutron bombs. They used one in Iraq and in the first heavy invasions when they were going after the I'm trying to think of it's
Republican
an ethnic
guard, so called, or
no, they used mind control on those guys.
Okay,
they used what.
It's a wicked, wicked, wicked world that we've created here. It's
The
Earth is for.
But no, not at all.
Those, you soldiers, you troops, come forward. Those of you who know about devices that can melt flesh or melt antimatter devices as well, but things that can dissolve. Obviously, you know from the World Trade Center that everything was converted into particulate matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's not typical of a controlled demolition to achieve that, nor the weight of a crushing down of a building.
Fallujah is the city where this occurred, where they were saying that that literally the skin was burned off of children and women. And
where was that, in Iraq, did you say?
Yes, yes.
And what was the city?
Fallujah.
Yes, Fallujah, yes, it destroyed that.
Yeah, quite a few military people that I talked to said that those are the signs of a neutron bomb going off.
Well, I'm sure they did something there.
Because
we're dealing with real, real cowards. Never will mm-hmm. they face off a guerrilla, enemy. They pull out these vile, inhumane, wicked things. And
then they
we had it happen to our people in New York, and then it would appear that more people died post September 11th than from the actual event, from the carcinoma and these other diseases.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there are mass murderers in New York City, and associated with those New Yorkers, I call on the military, who knows what devices are clearly capable of rendering, hard material into dust, such as metal, which Judy Wood has the photography, and I believe also Morgan Reynolds does. Now, these are very prominent people. These are PhDs. Why don't we trust our PhDs? This is the most ridiculous society in the world. If we there could be phonies. Let's get, you know, snuff them out.
Mm-hmm.
But if we have somebody trying, you know, and so they doesn't she show the photography of the vaporization of the metal beams? Have you
yes.
determined that to be right, correct?
Oh, yes, they're pitted. I mean, we're talking about, you know, this building basically fell, what, 40 minutes or so after it was supposedly struck by an airplane? It fell to
yeah.
the ground, a 110-story building? Come
Impossible.
On.
Impossible. First of all, Aaron Swirsky, one of the architects, says it was built to withstand a number of these hits. One of the other engineers said, a 727 would be nothing more than taking a pencil and poking it into a mosquito netting. You're not going to get anything more than that, but local damage.
Mm-hmm.
And other of the architects, one of them said it could that the World Trade Center, north or south, could withstand a number of 727s.
Yes.
And, you know, think about it. If you look at some of the construction pictures that the American Patriots have put up, where they show that massive central core of concrete and steel.
Mm-hmm.
No way. You'd have to hit that building with 400 757s, or, I mean, 767s, from every conceivable direction, and even then you would not bring down the metal frame.
Yes.
You know? So
yes.
that's history. That's
no,
absolute history.
It's obvious that the technology that was used, and there are more things. We're going to go into that in our next segment. So, Dr. Kay, I want to thank you for appearing on Evident Footprints.
You're welcome.
And we're going to have you back tomorrow. So I want to thank everyone for tuning in, and we'll see. We'll just keep rolling with this. Tonight. We're going into segment two, so we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Don't go away. You can do Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com.